I'm not going to sing the Peters and Lee song. You'll be all right. So this talk has been living rent-free in my head for quite a while. And it was accelerated in being this talk when I read this book, which is the book that Steve brilliantly read the story out from us. You might already be thinking, well, yeah, I know that story, and it doesn't particularly apply to me. And if that's you, well, one, I hope by the time we get to the end, you might have changed your mind. And two, if it's not for you, if it's really not for you, you might know someone that it actually is for. And by the end of this, when the text goes out and it says, if you want to listen again, you can forward that to someone and say, our pastor did this talk at church this morning. I think you might enjoy it. Because the PowerPoint will also be on the website to go with it. So any pictures will also be with it. So, I was having a drink with my friend Will over here at the Prince Albert. And we were talking about all sorts of stuff. But and amongst some of the things we were talking about is how you get so used to some things. You're so used to seeing them. You're so used, you before you even get there, you think, I know what this is about. And I think we do that in church sometimes, don't we? I know what that story is about. And Will used this phrase, and I loved it. He said, we can suffer from the fatigue of familiarity. We can suffer from the fatigue of familiarity. So I'm hoping today you can determine now that you're trying to stay awake for the whole thing, and you won't suffer from the fatigue of familiarity, but instead, you'll come alive as you discover God's love afresh for you and for others. And I apologize if I get emotional during this talk, you'll understand why later on. So, the parable that we've just heard, the parable of the lost son, is third in a line. Emily Boyce, on the 27th of July, you can go and listen to her talk, she talked brilliantly about the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and this is the parable of the lost son. And let's just read it. I'm not reading it from the book now, I'm reading it from the Bible. It says this, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons, and the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. Let's be really clear. What he was saying to his father was, I wish you were dead. That's what he's saying. That's why it describes it as being offensive. Because it was not culturally. You didn't have your money before the person died. So he's really saying, I want you dead because I want the money now. And I thought about this in the context of the whole thing of the assisted suicide debate that's coming up again in Parliament. I wonder how many people are going, I wish you'd die because otherwise all the money's going to go into home care costs. This is the sort of thing we're dealing with, this son. He wants his father dead. But the father loves him so much, he says, I'm going to agree. And he divides his wealth between his sons. And a few days later, this son packed all of his belongings and he moved to a distant land. Now, I can imagine this father watching his son go with his possessions wrapped up in a sack on his back. And the son walked out and the father watched him go and watched and watched and watched till he was just a dot on the horizon. And then watched that dot disappear. And yet stood resolutely in that place, longing that his son would turn around. Don't do this, son. And how do I know this? How do I feel this? Well, my son hasn't wished me dead, thankfully. He did, though, get a call and got headhunted. And in August 2017, moved to New Zealand. This was the last picture in the UK of our family together. Stephen and Mary and Millie, who was 8 months old. And this is Millie at the airport. I know, because when they finally got the call and we finally hugged and we said goodbye, I watched Stephen and Millie as they walked through the gate. Through the frosted glass, I could still see and still see Stephen carrying Millie. I watched until they were just a dot, and that dot disappeared, and we could do no more. And I think that's what that father felt. But he never gave up. Let's carry on with the story. So this son packs all his belongings. He moves to a distant land. He didn't go as far as New Zealand. And there, he wasted all of his money in wild living. You can second guess what that wild living would have looked like. About this time, his money ran out. It's easy to have lots of friends when you've got lots of money, isn't it? When expense is no issue. And I've witnessed people inherit large sums of money. And they get very popular until it all goes. And at this time, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. And he persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the fields to feed his pigs. Now, we have to understand how offensive this is. This is a good Jewish family. A family, an upstanding father. He would have been brought up. To the Jews, the pigs are not just nasty little animals. They are deeply offensive. They are unclean. So it is heaping insult upon insult that the son has to work with the pigs. And the young man became so hungry that even the pods, even the sweet corn that he was feeding looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And finally, he came to his senses. I was talking to Robbie about this, and it never really struck me before, but he didn't suddenly decide to go back to his father because he had a deep love for him and aware he was had offended him. He didn't go back to the father because, well, I've done my bit now. He went back because he was in desperate straits. He went back because he didn't know what else to do. He went back because he realized he'd messed up. And I think there are plenty of people who feel they've messed up, but actually think they've messed up so badly they can't go back. I'd like you to listen to a song by Ben Fuller. This was another one of those triggers that got me to this talk. The song is called Black Sheep. I'd like you to listen to it because it's part of this story.
Hard stone ain't so hard when you're alone.
As I said, I think there are a lot of people who might call themselves black sheep. And the reason why this song struck so much is I met one who said, I consider myself to be the black sheep and I don't think there's a way back. Well, there is. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, he said, the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Let's carry on with the story, shall we? When he finally came to his senses, we're back with our younger son. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have got food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. That father was looking out. Just as the same as he watched until that dot on the horizon disappeared, the father is still watching, waiting. And his father, filled with love and compassion, ran to his son. He embraced him and he kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Note, the father ran. He abandoned all sense of dignity. He abandoned all sense of propriety. He saw his son and ran and embraced him. Dirty. Smelly, smelling of pigs. The father didn't care. The father didn't let him finish his finely crafted speech. There was only one thing that was needed. You may be familiar with Charlie Mackesy's book, The Boy, the Horse, the Fox and the Mole. It's a classic. It's brilliant. But Charlie Mackesy, long before he did that, as a sculptor, as an artist, produce works like this. This is called The Prodigal. And actually, if you read the words carefully, it says it shouldn't be called the Parable of the Prodigal. It should be called The Parable of the Running Father. And if you look very closely, and I only discovered this at the Prince Albert, the model for that was Will himself. Will used to have Charlie Mackenzie in his house drawing pictures for their family. Not jealous at all here. So, but this is what happened. The father ran to him. The father embraced him. The father hugged him. It reminded me of this meme I saw very recently. Don't offer a lecture to a person who needs a hug. There were no lectures required. Just think what the father could have said. I told you this would happen. But no, he just embraced him. The father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house. Put it on him. Get a ring for his fingers. Sandals for his feet. Let's get him dressed up. Let's make him look good. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost and now he's found. And so the party began. And that's the end of the story. Except it isn't. Except it isn't. Because meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. And when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. And we are celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. What does the father do? The father goes out now to the older brother. This loving father who has been offended, he's done everything, and now he's run out to his youngest son, and now he goes out to find the older one. He loves them both just as much. And the older son says, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even a goat for a feast. And yet when this son of yours, this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, he said, he squanders it all. He squanders your money on prostitutes, and you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. And the father says to him, look, dear son, look, you've always stayed by me, and everything I've got is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found. Firstly, just a note on this, everything is yours. It was because if the father had divided his property and the younger son has taken his share, everything that is left belongs to the older son. This is so often referred to, and it may be in your Bible, it's referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. We might even say we want to pray home the prodigals. Prodigal literally means, lavish or extravagant, over the top. I think if anyone's prodigal here, it's the father. The father who displays unbelievable, extravagant, lavish, over the top love. You've got to understand in Middle Eastern culture that this public display of emotion would be seen as scandalous. Culturally, not just unexpected, but completely out of order. You, as the father of the family, you do not run anywhere. And you certainly don't hug someone that's just been with the pigs. It wasn't very dignified. I think we all need to understand a bit more about how God does some of this stuff for us. I wonder whether we are, if we were to put ourselves into this story, what would we be? Would we be the black sheep, the one who's got it wrong and needs to come to our senses? Would you be the younger son who's basically blown it all? Would you be the older son going, well, if they'd listened to me, this would never have happened. I'm not surprised they're in the mess they're in. You know what it's like. And actually, you know what, church? We can more often than not be the older brother when we should be the father. I showed you pictures from August 24th, 2017. This was Millie then, 8 months old, and this is Millie now. We're going to, oh, come on. We're going back to New Zealand for the first time in a while. I've seen Millie, this will be the third time in nearly 9 years. This was the family then. This is the family now. Where God wants them to be, however hard that is for me. But I want to tell you something, that if I got a phone call or a text or an email that said your son is on his way home, I would be at Heathrow or Gatwick or Stansted or Prestwick, wherever it was. And I would be there long ahead of a flight landing. I would not worry about the parking charges. And I would be sat there at the gate. I would have a big sign. I'd be waiting, eyes on those doors, just waiting. And I know what's going to happen when we get to New Zealand. We will walk through the doors from customs at Wellington Airport, and we will be enveloped by three gorgeous grandchildren. But this father, he's kept his eyes open. He's waited. He's wanted. It put me in mind of another piece of movie. And I think some of you will be very familiar with all of the film that follows, but this is its introduction. In the reading that Steve read, it finished with this. It said, the story was more about the father's love than about the younger son's disgrace, and about how God will do anything to have his children home. Just two verses I'd like to say. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Mark 1:15, the time has come. God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe the good news. You see, this is what God wants to put out for you and for those you know and love today. It's a welcome home map. And I think there are some of you here this morning and you recognize that actually you've been on this journey long enough and you'd like to come home. You're not necessarily the black sheep, but you recognize this is your opportunity. For others of you, you know someone who really, really could do with hearing this message. And I'd ask you to determine to send it to them. Because I think there are more people in need of a hug than a lecture right now. And how God will do anything to have his children home. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm just going to say, if this has resonated with you, and if you'd like to come home, see that welcome mat, if you'd like to burst through the door and see the Father running towards you to envelop you with a hug, all eyes closed, if that's you, would you put your hand in the air, please? And now if you know someone that you think you would like to forward it to, would you put your hand in there? Because I'd like to pray for all of you. If you know someone that you can forward this to because actually they need to come home. Father God, you are the running Father. You are the one who gave up everything for us. You're the one who did it all. And right now, we welcome that embrace, that hug. And we want to pray for those we know and love who really could do with knowing it too. Would you bless them? Will you strengthen them? Will you remind them of your great love for them? May they know that they have a home with you and they no longer have to live in the fear of disgrace. God, would you build your kingdom using the black sheep and the younger sons and the older brothers and help us come to you, the running Father. Amen.